And we are open. And our first order of business this morning is a public hearing on House Bill 2279. I'd like to open that hearing. Clerk, do we have a sign-up sheet for this bill? No one has signed up for this bill. All right.
Takes care of the public hearing.
Yeah. Ellen, would you please give us a review of that bill?
Yes, House Bill 2279 moves the earnings from video lottery games from the state lottery fund to the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund because there's currently a conflict in the law. And this bill would resolve that conflict by having the video lottery game proceeds deposited into the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund.
So, in essence, a housekeeping bill here. We have someone who would like to testify. Please come forward. Linda Ames. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Linda Ames. I'm in the Budget and Management Division at the Department of Administrative Services. The way the statutes currently read, we have one statute that says we will transfer video lottery receipts directly to the counties. We have another, more general statute that says all net proceeds from video lottery games will be allocated to the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund, and from there are then distributed to all the various distributions that we do. This bill will clarify that the distributions to counties follows the same distribution as for everything else. That is, that first the money will be transferred from lottery over to the Economic Development Fund, and then from there will be distributed to counties. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, Representative Holden, you've saved the moment. Thank you.
This is not this committee this morning.
We're on time for a thing.
Well, you know, and I don't know if there's a particular answer to this, but I'd like to know for the future, I suppose. Are there any, I guess, earmarks or any kind of conditions that are put on the uses of these dollars? By the counties when we're passing this money on to them?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holley, the statute simply says that it shall be used for economic development activities. So while that can be fairly broad, it's not like totally for anything. We don't actually have specific data at Department of Administrative Services saying what the counties use it on specifically.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Please.
Do we have a definition of what economic activities are then?
Mr. Chair, not in statute, not in that part of the statute, at least.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Holvey. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair Lim.
Yes, so how much is the 2.5% of the total lottery proceeds, approximately, in biennium?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lim, for the current 0507 biennium, we expect that the transfer will be about $36 million for the biennium.
That's the 2.5%.
Right, and that's the 2.5 of net proceeds. For next biennium, we expect it to increase to almost $44 million.
Okay.
Because it's a set percentage, of course, it's been increasing fairly rapidly, just like total lottery proceeds have over the last 4 years in particular.
Okay, follow up, Mr. Chair.
Please.
And what's the makeup of the 90% and 10% distribution in the bill set? Are you familiar with it?
He's referring to the distribution formula.
Yeah, distribution formula. 90% of the money shall be distributed to each county. I know this is not part of this change, but I'm for just information.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lim, I think it's structured so that I think 90% is dependent on how much is raised in that county, how much revenue comes out of that county. The 10% is a set amount based on the total revenue. And I believe the rationale for that kind of a distribution was so that the really little counties have some base amount that they can depend on.
A little more.
You know, I'm not remembering exactly, but that base amount is fairly small.
Okay.
Each quarter, maybe it's something like $10,000 to each county.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Riley, did you have something that you'd like to add?
Oh, I just was saying that the representatives from the county are agreeing that that's the case. So.
Okay.
Good. Further questions? Yes. Representative Barnhart, if you would please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment, for clarification, it has absolutely no real effect. Let me put it differently. It has absolutely no, makes absolutely no change in the actual practice.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, that is correct. This is how we currently do the distribution.
And then a follow-up,
this will simply clarify.
Please.
As far as you know, there's nobody who disagrees with this change.
No. There isn't. We work with lottery on this. We've also worked with the Legislative Fiscal Office, and everyone agrees that, that this just should be clarified since there is this contradiction.
Yes, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. And a follow-up. As far as you know, the counties are at least neutral on the bill. They're not opposed to it.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for the clarification, Representative Barnhart. As far as I know, we're changing a name, and it's a pass-through mechanism and fairly straightforward. Any further questions? All right. Ms. Ames, thank you so very, very much. Appreciate your availability here to answer the committee's questions. Is there anyone else from the public that... would care to testify on House Bill 2279? Second call. Last and final call. With that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2279 and open a work session on the same bill. Representative Barnhart, what's your pleasure?
Mr. Chair, I move the bill to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
And seeing how this is probably a non-controversial bill, is there a desire that this go to the consent calendar?
Well, we might find out if there's an objection first, but it certainly would make sense to me.
Okay. Is there any objection?
None.
All right.
Objectionable, and I don't object. Yeah.
I don't think it should go to the consent calendar myself. You know, first bill out of our committee, I think somebody ought to carry it. I'm not volunteering, but...
Well, Representative Holvey...
you're volunteering.
Yep.
Okay. Might give me an opportunity to speak about my concerns. But
yes. Well, first of all, not hearing any objection to moving this bill to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. And with that, the bill is so moved. And Representative Holvey, would you agree to be the carrier for this bill?
Or move the consent agenda.
I'd be very happy to carry this bill on the floor.
Thank you, Representative Holvey, very much. Our next order of business is to open a public hearing on House Bill 2449. Ellen, if you would please review briefly for the committee that bill.
This bill creates the Oregon Ice Age Museum. The bill in its current form assigns responsibility for state participation in the museum to the Oregon Department of Transportation and the Oregon Heritage Commission. There is a -1 amendment that removes that responsibility from ODOT and the Oregon Heritage Commission, and thus the bill in its amended form would simply create the Oregon Ice Age Museum and designate it as a state museum.
Thank you very much.
We have invited testimony this morning from Dr. Ken Tarzmitsky and Representative Dahlem. Would you like to introduce our guest, please?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, and for the record, I am Representative John Dahlem, House District 59. House District 59 is home of the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. It's a magnificent facility. Some of my colleagues have been there with me as I look around the board. I'm pleased to introduce to you the director of that museum, Ken Tarzmitsky. I have known Ken for a long time, and it's a great source of pride to me that I get to introduce him. I taught Western history and Montana history for 10 years. And the things that I was teaching, Mr. Tarzmitsky was doing. He located, or was working on locating a Lewis and Clark campsite in Great Falls, Montana. He's now working in the Dalles, locating the campsite of Lewis and Clark when they camped at the Dalles. The tools he uses, the things that he does, he's the Indiana Jones of our county. And I say that with all respect. I want to handle a couple of things first. We do have an amendment to this bill. When I got the draft back from LC, it mentioned that this declaration of Ice Age would be treated the same and would be handled by ODOT. That doesn't fit, and I'm not sure how that got in there, but it looked good to me when I got the bill. And it also mentions the Oregon Heritage Commission, and that piece did not belong on the bill. And so if you look at 1, paragraph 2, what the amendment does is eliminate all of that. I believe we have people in the room from the Heritage Commission. I'm not sure there's ODOT people here, but we've been over that piece of the bill. This bill will do everything we want it to do without that last paragraph, and that's the reason for the amendment. If you have any questions about the amendment, I feel confident I can answer those. If you have any questions about the Ice Age, or about the impact of this bill on our museum, I'm going to give that to Dr. Ken Tarzmitsky. And I'll take your questions when he's done, if you don't mind. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Dahlem. Dr. Tarzmitsky, would you please offer whatever words of wisdom you have for our committee this morning, and welcome. Thank you so much for making yourself available.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. What we're trying to do here is really trying to focus resources that help to interpret natural history or cultural history in essentially existing facilities. That's why we're talking. We're really not talking about changing the name of the Discovery Center, the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center, to a new name, the Ice Age Museum, but essentially focusing attention that has been a part of our mission since the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center was created by the Columbia River Gorge Scenic Act. And what that Scenic Act said is that there are two purposes that we have in creating a Scenic Act. One is to be able to preserve the natural and cultural history of that scenic area, and the other is economic development. And what they said is the way we'll develop economics or enhance the economics in Oregon is to create an interpretive center that will interpret the scenic area. And a part of the reason that scenic area is the way we see it today is 12,000 years ago, a flood of water that is just unimaginable rushed across northern Idaho, across eastern Washington and Oregon, and down the Columbia Gorge. In fact, the Willamette Valley is so rich today because all of that soil moved from eastern Oregon and Washington to the Willamette Valley, and that's what we're talking about. The reason we're moving at this point in terms of enhancing our interpretation of the Ice Age is that there is a bill right now before Congress, which is the Ice Age Floods National Geologic Trail. And what they're saying is that this is something of national interest. And if this bill passes Congress, the idea is that it will they'll allow interpretation or allow appropriations to enhance interpretation. What we're trying to do is position this facility, the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center, in the right place so that in the next year or two or three, as this new part of heritage tourism develops, we can take advantage of that and essentially bring more bang for the buck that has already been invested in a $21 million facility. That's what the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center is, a $21 million facility that was built about 10 years ago. If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to provide any information or clarification.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do note from the preliminary staff measure summary that there's a potential fiscal impact. Do you have any idea what that might be?
In terms of tourism?
No, I'm sorry. Fiscal impact means money that the state would have to spend.
I'm not aware of that. I mean, this is essentially what we're doing with this is designating the Discovery Center as sort of like the same thing that if you designated an Ice Age fossil for the state. In this case, what you're doing is saying we're designating an Ice Age repository. So if someone said, I've got this tusk that I dug up, people would say, well, you know, the place that takes care of Ice Age material or research or whatever, one of the places is the Discovery Center. There are no, that I'm aware of, I mean, I would love money if that was the question, but this is really essentially designating that museum as being a center for that work.
Well, if I may, contrary to popular opinion or knowledge, the state it continues to be significantly broke since Measure 5 passed and we took over responsibility for funding most of the public school system in the mid-90s. The state is significantly underfunded. So if it had had a significant fiscal impact, it would change me from a yes to a no. But since it doesn't, I suspect I'll support the bill.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Barnhart, one of the things that, in a way, I wish I wasn't saying this, but I will. The Columbia Gorge Discovery Center has been open for 10 years. In fact, it'll celebrate its 10-year anniversary in May of 2007. Right now, our annual budget is $1 million. And in that $1 million, there is not a dollar of federal tax money, not a dollar of state tax money, not a dollar of county tax money, and not a dollar of city tax money to support that $1 million budget. I wish it were not that way, but we have really, by doing this, in fact, what we're trying to do is leverage our position so that when federal appropriations are made, Oregon is in a good position to cash in on that. And I think that's really, we're used to carrying our own weight, which is not to say we would refuse any sort of appropriation from any government agency. right now we're looking at this as a way that we can leverage this designation into private dollars, and federal dollars. Now, for example, the largest foundation in the Northwest is the M.J. Murdoch Foundation. We received $100,000 from them to develop an Ice Age exhibit. And so I think that we're looking at it that way.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, if I may simply comment, I appreciate the level of entrepreneurship we're hearing about today.
Yeah, absolutely. Vice Chair Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for coming today. It's clear to me that you really love your work, and I appreciate what you do for our state. I was lucky enough 2 years ago that Representative Dahlem took our committee out to your facility, and we held a hearing there, our committee meeting, and it was a delight. And I'm certainly supportive of this, and thank you again for what you did.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, Vice Chair Lund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for your work anyway. When you have possible funding from the federal government on this project, maybe federal government might ask their matching fund or something. In that case, are you able to raise your own money of a matching fund and not asking from the state fund?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman committee member, that's basically what we have been doing. I've been the director at the museum for 4 years now. We developed a Lewis and Clark exhibit. It was a $600,000 exhibit that we developed. In fact, it's still showing at the museum because we planned on taking it down in September of last year. It was too popular. But we were able to pay for that using federal grants and private funding. One of the other things that is really cool about this whole idea is that we have a Space Act agreement with NASA. This allows us access to NASA research. And NASA, of course, is looking at Mars and looking at the moon and looking at how to habitate these places. Well, an analog for a Martian landscape, for better or worse, is Eastern Washington and Eastern Oregon. And so what they're doing is satellite research on Eastern Washington and Eastern Washington, Oregon, to look at the floods and then comparing that to the satellite imagery of Martian landscapes. Well, with our NASA collaboration, the Clint Gorges Discovery Center has a Space Act agreement with NASA. We can bring that research right to the Discovery Center, also at no cost to the state.
One follow-up,
please.
Please educate me that the Ice Age Museum in our state, it doesn't click to my mind yet. If it's someplace in Alaska, maybe someplace, yeah, it might work. But in our state, Ice Age Museum, why particularly here, not any other state? That if someone asks me a question, how can I explain that?
Yes, sir. The explanation, in terms of the, if you look at Ice Ages, the last one started about 100,000 years ago. And it ended about 12,000 years ago. And the place in the world where the greatest impact was is a sheet that came off of the North Pole and into Canada and the northwestern part of the continent, also down over Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin could have an Ice Age museum, and very well may. The difference in this is a floods geologic trail. And what's happening is as the ice is coming down, a tongue of it or a lobe blocks off the rivers, backs up water so that it's 2,000 feet deep. And what happens is that this tongue shatters, essentially. It collapses. The water floods out of there. This hasn't happened nowhere else in the world. A flood of this size has never been documented anywhere else in the world. So really, in terms of this kind of Ice Age interpretation, it could happen in Montana, northern Idaho, Washington, and Oregon, and it will. And I'm sure that Washington is working right now to capitalize on this new tourist opportunity. In fact, it's Senator Cantwell and Doc Hastings, Representative Hastings, that are taking the bill to Congress for the Ice Age bill that is before Congress.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, every once in a while we see a newspaper article about a large boulder from Canada sitting in a farmer's field in the middle to upper Willamette Valley. That boulder came from this flood, didn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it did. In fact, one of the other things that I think is pretty interesting about this is that what we're having happen at the end of the Ice Age, and it's mainly we're thinking about it from the standpoint of a geologic trail. And I was talking to some humanities people at Washington State University, and they said, oh, Ice Age, that has nothing to do with humanities. Well, actually it does, because if we take a look at how people, most archaeologists, most anthropologists are saying that people came over the Bering Bering Strait, over the Bering Land Bridge. That's how they got here. What we know is that happened. They may have been here earlier than that. But also the mammoths got here that way. And so you're looking at this megafauna that is extinct. In fact, I was just talking to the editor for Oregon Business Magazine, and she said, but, you know, who cares? I mean, what does the Ice Age have to do with today? And my comment to her was that I was just watching national news last week, I think it was, and they were talking about how the polar bears are threatened. Well, polar bears are the biggest mammals, other than whales, biggest mammals on Earth. 12,000 years ago, the biggest mammals were the mammoths, and they were threatened. And they were not threatened because ice was coming, but ice was disappearing. Why are the polar bears threatened? Because ice is disappearing. So we have a corollary right now, and in terms of interpreting the Ice Age, what we can interpret is what happened 12,000 years ago and what it may hold in store for us, you know, in the very near future. And that's, you know, so it has pure science at it, but it has today's interest and today's livability as a basis for it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Dahlem, Dr. Karzmiski, thank you both so very, very much.
Thank you.
And let's hope that the polar bear is not also a canary.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Chair Witt.
Any additional testimony from the public on this particular bill?
I'm on the agenda, yes.
Okay. And we'll get to your bill in just a moment, sir. Thank you very much, and appreciate your being here today. Seeing no further public testimony on House Bill 2449, I will close the public hearing on that bill and open a work session on the same bill.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair Lim.
I move House Bill 2449 and move to the floor with a two-pass recommendation.
I was going to move the amendment.
Yes.
Oh, we have amendment.
Yes.
Okay, with amendment.
With amendments, okay. Ellen, would you please briefly describe, I know the witness described the bill, would you please briefly describe our amendment for the record?
Currently, the bill in its current form, the language was mirrored on the statute creating the Oregon State Maritime Museum, and that statute makes reference to the Oregon Department of Transportation as a state agency that is responsible for state participation in the museum. So the amendment removes Section 2 from the bill, which is the language that says the Department of Transportation is responsible for state participation, and it also removes the second sentence, which says that the Oregon Heritage Commission would be responsible for state participation. And so, in effect, what the amendment does is remove the requirement that any state agency have responsibility for determining state participation in the Ice Age Museum.
Thank you very much. With that, Vice Chair Lim moves House Bill 2449 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection?
Mr. Chair, I think we have to vote on the amendment first.
Thank you, Vice Chair Riley.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the amendment, the dash one amendment to House Bill 2449.
Any objections? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Vice Chair Lim has made a motion to send House Bill 2449 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Is there any objection? Seeing none, it is sent to the floor and adopted. Thank you very, very much.
Who's going to carry?
Let's see, our carrier, Representative Dahlem, would you wish to carry this bill? Thank you very much. I appreciate the help of our committee. With that, our next business today, I'm going to open a hearing on two bills jointly, House Bill 2447 and House Joint Resolution Number 12.
Ellen, if you would please briefly describe both of these bills. The hearing is open. Public hearing.
House Bill 2447 creates the Korean American Day Commission and declares January 13th of each year to be Korean American Day. And its companion Joint Resolution 12 recognizes and expresses appreciation for the contribution of Korean Americans and encourages Oregonians to join the yearly celebration of Korean American Day on January 13th and makes specific legislative findings that are contained in the preamble to the resolution.
Thank you very much.
One more person.
First of all, I want to make some ask something out.
Okay. Mr. Chair and members of this committee, and I do appreciate having the public hearing on this House Bill 2447 and HJR 12. And this bill recognizes the contribution made by the Korean American since 1903. And I'm not going to elaborate all of those factors, but simply I will be introducing my good friend Don Cohen, who is the Korean War veteran, and he has a whole lot of points to explain. Also next to him is Sam Kwok, a former chair of Commission on Asian Affairs, also the Korean American community leaders in Portland area. So with that, and I will go up to my chair again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Lim. Welcome this morning to both of our guests. Thank you so very much for being here today. Mr. Kwok, if you would please, I'd like to have you lead off, sir. Thank you.
Actually, I thought I would say after Don.
Okay.
Because the
all right.
I will more focus on the creation of the commission, and Don will talk about a all little bit. Yeah.
Thank you. Don, if you would, please.
Yes, Chair, Representative Witt, may I approach the panel and pass out some stuff here?
If you'd please present it to our committee assistant.
To one each, please.
Good morning, sir, and welcome.
Thank you. May I begin?
Please.
Oregon has always been famous for pioneers crossing the plains in covered wagons. As the saying goes, go
excuse
west,
me, Don,
man, go west.
Don, excuse me just for a moment. Would you formally introduce yourself for the record?
Oh, yes. My name is Donald M. Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. I reside at 14013 Northeast 5th Circle in Vancouver, Washington, for the last year, 98684.
Thank you so much. Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, I'll start all over.
Okay.
Oregon has always been famous for pioneers crossing the plains in covered wagons. As the saying goes, go west, young man, go west. But this other pioneer also came to Oregon, not in cover wagons or on horseback, but by steamships from the Orient, many years later by airplane. These immigrants were from Korea. These immigrants brought with them few material things, but they did bring their customs and ancient culture, which included the ethic of hard work and sufficiency. They came to Oregon and established their roots at the end of the Oregon Trail. Their history now spans more than 100 years. There are approximately 25,000 Korean living in the state of Oregon at this time. When they arrived, they did not ask the state of Oregon to give them anything. They were just grateful to be allowed to immigrate to Oregon. They neither asked for or expected welfare from the state. They took whatever jobs were available to create their own one-man or family businesses to provide for their needs. If uneducated, they took menial jobs in communities while they learned the language and customs. They needed to become productive citizens of Oregon and to support their families. Many highly educated also worked and went to school to develop the skills needed to practice their profession in this country. Doctors, lawyers, professors, teachers, contractors, serving in our military, CPAs, religious leaders in their churches, and farmers, and so forth. Today, Korean Americans are in the very aspect of every economy, paying taxes, not taking money. They do not look for handouts. They are a proud people. They also make sure that their children get a good education and benefit from the opportunities an education provides. Their children move to become professionals in a community, having been taught respect and core values that are often so lacking in our society today. We Korean War veterans are grateful for We Korean War veterans are grateful to the Korean community for the monetary and personal support toward our Oregon Korean War Memorial, located in Wilsonville, Oregon. The cost was approximately $400,000 plus. They donated 70% of those dollars. That was their grateful expression of appreciation for what we did for their country 56 years ago. We believe that there should be a special day set aside for a Korean American Day in the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any question?
Well spoken. Very well spoken. Mr. Kwok.
Yes. I prepared a kind of a brief statement myself, assuming the Oregon legislature would pass that Korea Day as January 13 is Korea Day, Korean American Day. And then I'd like to speak just in about the creation of the commission, why we need to create, assuming that January 13 is a Korean American Day. My name is Sam Kwok, K-W-A-K. I'm a member of the Korean Society of Oregon, and also I served a chair and a member of the Commission on Asian Affairs by State of Oregon several years ago. And also I'm served as the past president of the Korean Society of Oregon. This is my privilege to have this chance to speak to you today in support of House Bill 2447. The Korean Society of Oregon takes a very active part in the government affairs of the State of Oregon and in community relations across the state. Koreans in America have been greatly honored by the designation as January 13 as a Korean American Day by U.S. Congress. I wish to speak now in favor of the establishment of the Korean American Day Commission. This seven-member commission, whose members will be appointed by the governor and then maintained by the governor throughout the members' terms, is a very essential part of this act. Many acts are passed without established group set, but ready to begin to make the act work from the start. I anticipate the work of this commission will encourage increased awareness and participation in government and community affairs and trade opportunities and generally more active Korean American citizens in the state of Oregon. The recommendations of the number of members of their suggested terms will work well, although the members will serve without compensation or any expense accounts. The members will be diverse enough to organize, promote, and carry out Korean American Day celebrations and particularly their spirit, using their own contacts and their public involvement. Therefore, I like to support the creation of the commission for this bill. And the commission will serve well the spirit of Korean American Day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kwok, and we are honored to have both of you here today. Mr. Cohen,
I like on the what's written on these House Joint Resolution Number 12. There are some errors in there where Korean War veterans get very upset about it. And I'd like to have those changed, if I may. One, the Korean, it was not a conflict. That's what it was called in the beginning. But 1987, President Reagan declared it a war. I forget the HR bill number, but it was considered a war. Korean veterans are tired of hearing about the conflict. When somebody's shooting at you, it's a war. It's not a conflict.
Yes.
Okay. Also, they have 54,000 dead. It's 54,256 during the Korean era. Okay? As far as wounded, it was 92,000. It was 104,000 wounded that went to hospitals only. They did not count the ones that were the wounded, such as I, three times on a hill. Okay? They didn't count that for some darn reason. I don't know why. But the Department of Defense came up with a figure around 240,000. Okay? There was 8,177 POWs at the end of 1953, July 27th. Okay? Of which 40% died in prison camps. And that's just about it. I'd like to have those changes made, though.
Thank you very much, sir, for that important information. And we will try and have that record corrected.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions or comments from the committee? Don, we'd like to recognize your service to our country and the service of everyone else that served in the Korean War. Thank you, sir.
I'd like to have them stand up.
Yes, please. Stand up. Please stand up.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Vice Chair
Lim. As Don mentioned, I'm going to talk to you, and we are going to make an appropriate change,
okay,
which requires an amendment.
Okay.
And so I'd like to see you right after this meeting.
Sure.
So how we can change in a correct way. We got this information from some other sources.
Yes.
Maybe a number might be a little bit different, but we will make it correct. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your suggestion. Appreciate it.
And Vice Chair Lim, understand that you had military service as well?
Unfortunately, I served as a houseboy to American GI. So if you call it that service, it's also a service.
Definitely.
But when I went to the Bible College in Korea, I served as a civilian chaplain to the American servicemen in Korea for 5 years. So that's I serve. But I'm proud I served as a houseboy after the Korean War.
An honorable service.
Thank you for your service, Vice Chair Lim.
Actually, we have one more person to speak about this resolution. He just came late. Dave Kim is the past last year's president of Korean Society of Oregon. If you give him a chance to speak, that would be great.
Mr. Kim, if you would, please come forward. Mr. Kim, welcome.
Thank you. Chairman Nguyen and Vice Chair Lim, I'd like to take this opportunity to the rest of the members of this community to thank for giving me the opportunity to speak before this committee to testify for the Korean American Day. And also like to thank for your service as a proud citizen of this great state. I'd like to thank each one of you for your service to this state.
Thank you.
I'm supportive of this resolution because that Korean Americans are the very good, you know, there's a lot of, debates about immigration to the United States. But the Korean Americans are the very good examples about success story of immigrants to this nation. especially in Oregon, Korean Americans not only have contributed a great deal to economic growth of this state, but also not in just in economics, but into the art, social, and every aspect of our lives. And also the Oregon has very special ties with Korean Americans. Oregon is the, Korea is the third largest exporting nation for the state of Oregon. Also, the Oregon is home to the Holt International for the adoption program. And also the Oregon has the second, Korea is the second most sister government relationship, has a relationship with Korea, next to Japan. And that especially the significance of a Korean American Day would be to, again, as I said before, to show and share with the rest of America that the success story of immigration. We always talk about negative side of immigration, but this is a good example to show what the good immigration policy and good immigrants will contribute to this country. And that's why I'm here to support for the Korean American Day, to share the success story with the rest of the Oregonians in America. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kim. Questions or comments from our committee?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Vice Chairman, please.
Mr. Kim has been a good friend of mine. He lives in Gresham in my district. Oh. He's the immediate past chair of the Korean American Society in Oregon. And he is the one of the great leaders, not only in Korean Americans, but and as a whole in our state. He also served as a commission on the tax. What was the?
Yeah, I was the vice chair of the Oregon Tax Practitioners Board, and I also served on the school boards and the numerous other organizations.
I just want to thank him for his public service in the past.
Thank you so very much, and thank you, too, for your efforts in improving cultural ties as well as commerce between our two countries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kim. We also have on our agenda today for invited testimony Mr. Mac McDonald and Irv Fletcher. Good morning to both of you, and welcome. Appreciate very much your willingness to be part of our witness panel here this morning. If you would, before you begin your testimony, please individually introduce yourselves.
My name is Matt McDonald, and I represent normally the United Veterans of Oregon. This morning, I'm representing myself. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go through a little bit of history and some of the observations that I've made throughout my life. 55 years ago, I found myself in the land of morning time, Korea, as a Marine, young Marine infantryman. And I observed when I was there as we went north that the roads were dirt roads until we got to Seoul, and when we got to Seoul, they had paved roads, but Seoul was a city that had been taken by the North Koreans and retaken by the Marines. And further north, I found myself in a town called Monsigny, which was a railroad hub at that time. And in Monsigny, there wasn't a building standing. There was a partial wall of the bank, and the bank vault was obvious. It had not been opened. It was still locked. There was a steam engine there that U.S. planes had knocked out, and a few passenger cars with their wooden benches, but the city was really devastated. The few people we saw around were just trying to stay alive. We went further and finally ended up where I spent the remainder of my 16 months in Korea. Now, I was on some hills called Dallas, Dorado, Denver, overlooking the Imchin River, a bridge to my left, the Korean Marine Corps on our left, the Canadians on my right, 1st Marines, the other side of the Imchin. And when I left Korea in 16 months, I'd seen a country that I saw no trees. You looked out over barren land. You saw people just trying to survive. In 1961, I went back to Japan. I was a Marine stationed with the United States Navy aboard a cruiser. While I was there, my wife took a trip to Korea. She came back, excuse me, she came back and told me about the highways from Incheon to Seoul, how Seoul was a ongoing city with high rises. Thank you. She told me about how the people were living and what a difference. And I could hardly believe it. Today we drive Hondas, Kias. We buy Sanyo Electronics and Korea has become a gem of the Orient. The immigrants that left Korea have come to this country and they succeed because of a hard work ethic. They succeed because you see their business is successful. The children are successful in school. The homes shine in the neighborhoods. I think House Joint Resolution 11 and House Bill 2447 are probably 20 years late. It should have been done a long time ago. I remember coming back from Korea and there were no parades. On the second or third page of the paper, you might find something about the war, and it truly was a forgotten war. We're overdue in recognizing the people who fought there, and we're overdue in recognizing the Koreans that have come to this country. My recommendation would be to support and put a due pass on both. Thank you.
Thank you so very, very much, Mac. And thank you, too, for calling to our attention the success that Korean Americans have had in our country. And perhaps more importantly, the standard of living and the democracy which people in South Korea enjoy in part because of the sacrifices that you and many others have made. With that, questions or comments from our committee?
Just want to make one comment.
Yes.
And thank you very much for your testimony. But all the Koreans living in the United States, about more than 2 million people, we are very grateful to you, to American people, to and also America, and the country made so much sacrifice during the Korean War, and we wouldn't be here today here if it were not the sacrifice of you and the many servicemen also who gave their ultimate life for to defend the freedom of Korea and around the world. So we thank you and we salute you for the sacrifice. Thank you.
Irv Fletcher.
Chair, what members of the committee, I'm Irv Fletcher. I live at 1272 Mayanna Drive, Woodman, Oregon. I'm appearing here today representing just myself. in support of House Bill 2447 and House Joint Resolution 12. As I understand the intent of 2447, if enacted in its present form, it would declare January 13th of each year's Korean-American Day, and it would also establish a Korean-American Commission to promote, organize, and coordinate Korean-American celebrations. I was privileged to have served the United States Navy from September 1950 until July 17, 1954. A portion of my enlistment was served on board the USS Corregidor, CD-58, which transported jet aircraft to the war zone for use in air action over the Korean Peninsula. Although I did not serve in direct combat, as my good friends here did, in the Korean War, a member of our extended family, PFC James V. King, U.S. Marine Corps, made the ultimate sacrifice. He was killed in action at Hung Song. On February 24th, 1951, excuse me, he is interred in my hometown of Milo, Maine. His sacrifice is also memorialized at the Korean War Memorial in Wilsonville, Oregon. And I'll skip the House General Resolution states because you can read it. I would be remiss, though, if I did not salute the vice chair of this committee, Representative Lim, as a living example of a Korean American. And his service to not only this body, but the state senate and the greater Oregon community. He is living proof of the contributions that Korean Americans have made to their community, the state of Oregon and the United States. And also, I might add, of the Korean Americans who have served in World War I, Korean War, Vietnam, probably Desert Storm and Enduring Freedom. Those are the two latest conflicts that that Korean Americans have served in. And I salute you, Representative Lim, for your service. Closing, let me urge the committee to pass both House Bill 2447 and House Joint Resolution 12.
Questions or comments from the committee for either Mr. Fletcher or Mr. McDonald?
Thanks.
Thank you very, very much. A number of you may know that Irv is my L.A., and thank you very much, Irv. He worked in this building for 30 years and never stepped foot on the House floor until the day, in recognition of the military service of our veterans, that marked the first day that he stepped foot in the House, the Oregon House of Representatives. Thank you very much for your service.
Committee members, excuse me, the audience, is there any further public testimony? Seeing or hearing none, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2447 as well as HDAR 12.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just want to recognize the Ann Kim, the current elected president of the Korean American Society, in the audience. I just want to recognize that. And then also, if I may, maybe it might be too late, I have a testimony given to me by the Honorary Consul of Oregon, Tom Walsh, and I'd like to also adopt as an additional testimony to this fourth resolution and also the bill.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Lim, and we are honored to have received remarks from the Consular General from South Korea. Before I open a potential work session,
I think since we need an amendment, then I'm going to contact the Legislative Council to draw the amendment, and then after that, next that the committee meeting,
we shall be able to have a work session and test it in no time. So I think that's the proper way to do it.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As long as Representative Lim is looking at amendments, he may want to consider the issue raised in the fiscal analysis in which it talks about the way in which the commission, the bill fails to note any method for handling contributions, gifts, grants, donations, and authority to receive, deposit, expend, or account for monies that may be offered. And potentially, I don't know, frankly, the answer to the question, but potentially there may need to be a technical amendment to the House bill in order to deal with that issue. So I'd leave that to Representative Lim to determine whether that's appropriate or not.
Thank you very much. And the bill, as it is written, there is no fiscal impact at all.
Well, but the commission may, sometime or another, accept donations or contributions. And
yes,
the question that was raised in the fiscal analysis is, what would be the method for handling those?
Okay.
And I think, and frankly, I have no idea what we do with similar commissions. But whatever that is, we should do the same thing with this one.
Okay. Thank you very much for the comment. And I will also discuss concerning the matter with Legislative Council, whether actually we need it to that. And if we need it, certainly, I think we should address those concerns. Representative Barnard mentioned.
Thank you, Representative.
Chair is going to reopen momentarily the public hearing on House Bill 2447 and HJR 12 to receive written testimony from Consular General Tom Walsh, and to also ask that Vice Chair Lim work with committee counsel Ellen Osinath to develop appropriate amendments to this bill, which we will hear and have a work session on at a later time. Additional questions or comments? Was there anyone else from the public that would care to offer comments today before our committee? Seeing none and hearing none, I close the public hearing on the House Bill 2447 and HJR 12. Any other business to come before our committee? Seeing none, hearing none, I close today's session of the House Committee on Workforce and Economic Development. Thank you very, very much, everyone who came today, both to offer a testimony as well as to offer your support.